Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and I want us to begin another course of study today, and I'm so appreciative of the time that you have allotted us today. This is our 198th program, and it's titled God of Our Fathers. And we'll be getting into that here in just a second. If you want to catch this again, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. This is program 198. I've been going through my archives and the online archives of a publication simply known as the Voice of Truth International. Been in publication since 1993. Wonderful work they do. And this is an article written by Glover Shipp, who at the time was a preacher, teacher, missionary, and an elder of the Church of Christ that meets in Edmond, Oklahoma. They are responsible for In Search the Lord's Way, if you have seen that wonderful brotherhood program. But he has an article titled God of Our Fathers, and I want to share that with you. And he has a lesson text of Genesis 3, 1 through 6, so I want to read that as we get into this. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth not know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's look at this, shall we? The God of our fathers is the same God worshipped since the dawn of human existence. He is the God that was worshipped by Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Solomon, all of the Old Testament prophets, Ezra, Nehemiah, John the Baptist, and all of Christ's apostles and the early Christians. He is the God worshipped by those who followed in their footsteps, and the God worshipped today all around the world in countless tongues and cultures. This is the God in whom we trust. That's on our currency. The God invoked in our founding documents and the God called upon at the opening sessions of Supreme Court and Congress. This is the God to whom we cry when calamity hits us. Just who is this God in whom we trust? Is he a kind of Santa Claus up in heaven to dole out goodies to us? Is he a kind of broker to protect our investments? Is he a doctor to care for our every ache and pain? Is he a severe father ready to punish? Just who is the God whom we worship and obey? Three characteristics for our study today. Number one, God is all-powerful or omnipotent. That's how it's spelled. Omnipotent is how it's pronounced. God's power is seen in creation in Genesis 1 and 2, Romans 1 and 20. In fact, Paul argues in Acts 17, 22 through 31, that all humans should see that God created everything. In Romans 1, 18 through 20, Paul says that those who do not believe in the eternal creative God have no excuse because he's made his power to clear us. The book of Psalms declares God's power in Psalm 8, Psalm 19, Psalm 62, 66, and 145, among others. To see the majesty of his creative power, all we need to do is seek out a location in the high plains, in the desert or mountains, and just contemplate the night sky scrolled out above us, with the planets and thousands of visible stars looking down on us as if they were pinpoints in the canopy of heaven, letting God's light shine to us. The universe grows larger each year as astronomers probe out to the infinity that is space. We are certainly little potatoes in comparison to the vastness and complexity of space. However, space is not all there is to the creative hand of God. You know, animal life is complex and extensive. The earth's mineral resources are nearly endless. The Lord placed all this here to portray His creativity. You can go to the highest heights, to the lowest lows, and see God's amazement everywhere. In the Pulpit Commentary, Volume 8, page 215 states, "To see law everywhere and God nowhere would be enough to crush us. To see God everywhere working by law inspires rest and joy. Our Father is at the helm." That's number one. God is all-powerful. He's omnipotent. Let's pause our study here and join us here in just a second after our short break. We'll continue looking at the God of our fathers here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you with us on our return to our program, Reading the Word. This is program 198. We're looking at the God of our fathers, working through an article written by Glover Shipp in the Voice of Truth International. And we've looked at the fact that God is all-powerful or omnipotent. I want us to look now at the points number 2 and 3 for the rest of our study. We see that God is all-knowing. We call that omniscient. Omniscient. Hebrews 4 and verse 13 describes God's capacity to know all things. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from Him. Everything is revealed to Him, to whom we must give account of our lives and actions. God has knowledge that no other human can have. We see that clearly illustrated in Mark 13 and 32. Despite many predictions about the end of time, or even the events leading up to it, no man can ever know when these events will occur. There's a book out. I do not own a copy because the price is exorbitant, but it's simply titled 88 Reasons Why the Lord Will Return in 1988. And at the time of this recording, it's 2024, and I'll let you do the math. Many people have tried to predict the return of the Lord, and they have all failed because only God knows when that is. The countdown calendar, you might say, is in the hands of the Lord exclusively. Well, are we then in the end times? Well, someone recently said that we are in the end times right now. They'll tell that to you on a regular basis. And my answer always has been that we've been in the end times since Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And He went back to the Father. We're in the last age, the Christian age or the Christian dispensation. Therefore, we should act as if today were the last moment before the end of the world. According to the warning that Jesus gives in Matthew 24, 36 through 44, since we do not have God's calendar in our hands, we need to be ready each day for the end of time. We are to beware of those who claim that some war, earthquake, or other calamity is a sure sign that the end is coming, or those who claim to be a new prophet or Christ. Jesus says, Matthew 24, 4 through 8, despite all these traumas that plague the world, the end is not yet. God's understanding is unsearchable, Isaiah 40, 28. His ways are past finding out, Romans 10, 33 through 36. No matter how much genius we expend in trying to understand God, He remains a mystery to us. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than the greatest strength of any human, 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 25. So we see then that not only is God all-powerful, He's omnipotent, that's number one. Number two, God is all-knowing, He's omniscient. But number three, God is everywhere, omnipresent. The question I pose to you, dear listener, how can God be everywhere at once? Well, because He is God. And this is not difficult at all for Him. In Psalm 139, 1 through 16, David reminds us that God knows us. He perceives our thoughts, and He is familiar with all of our ways. Now, this might sound like national surveillance, but on a far more powerful level. Wherever we go, the Lord is there. He knows us from conception. The Lord knows when we'll take our last breath. He understands and knows our heartaches, our frailties, and illnesses. We might say in today's language that He truly is awesome. Every characteristic of God is seen, clearly illustrated, in Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 through 23, 27 through 38. We see His omnipotence, His omniscience, and His omnipresence. All-powerful, all-knowing, and being everywhere. God's power has provided for all of our physical and spiritual needs. Because He is God, He has every right to expect our submission and obedience. 2 Peter 1, verse 3, 4, 8, 9, 10, and 11. It is a foolish person indeed who attempts to second guess, to play games, or attempt to elevate himself or herself to a godlike status. Our only safe and reasonable recourse is to bow to Him in submission and obedience. That's the culmination of the article then about the God of our fathers. I want to close out with this, and it's a simple question that says, who should read the Bible? The young should read the Bible to learn how to live. The old should read the Bible to know how to die. The ignorant should read the Bible for wisdom. The learned should read the Bible for humility. The rich should read the Bible for compassion. The poor should read the Bible for comfort. The dreamer should read the Bible for enchantment. The practical should read the Bible for counsel. Those that are weak should read the Bible for strength. Those that are strong should read the Bible for direction. The haughty should read the Bible for warning. The humble should read the Bible for exaltation. Those that are troubled should read the Bible for peace. And those that are weary should read the Bible for rest. The sinner should read the Bible for salvation. Those that are doubting should read the Bible for assurance. And all Christians should read the Bible for guidance. So, regardless of where you find yourself, you're in there at some point in that little illustration. And I hope that you have enjoyed that, and I appreciate the time that you have afforded us today. Now, if you want a copy of this program, as we've talked about the God of our fathers, or who should read the Bible, you can listen to it online anytime at readingtheword.net. READING, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio programs. From there, there's 197 preceding this one. This one is program 198. And Lord willing, we'll have more to come. We're just a few weeks away from our 200th program, a little personal milestone, if I may say so myself. But they're all online, plus my sermon notes and a whole lot of other stuff on there for you. readingtheword.net. If you don't have good internet access, you'd like a hard copy, you can write to me. My personal box is P.O. Box 292, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. This post office box, 292, Woodbury, Tennessee, 37190. Just let me know how I can help you. And please understand, nothing that I present to you will charge you a dime for. Now, a lot of religious programming say, we'll give you some free material if you'll send us a donation. That's not how I do. This is a gift from me to you, and I appreciate the time that you have afforded me today. And I know the good Lord up above has been very appreciative of the time that you have afforded us as well. And if He permits, the good Lord does, that is, we will study again very soon here in this format. Thank you so much, and I hope in your daily studies you study God's Word. You try to memorize God's Word. You try to apply God's Word to learn how you can be more faithful tomorrow than you were today. I hope in your daily prayers you are thankful for salvation, praying for forgiveness, and remembering those who are fighting to keep us free. May the good Lord bless you and may he keep you. Please continue to pray and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.